Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now. Station.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you to get you ready for week one of the college football season. We also have a lot of Royals baseball, as you can imagine. Vinny Pasquantino, the Royals' very talented first baseman, is out for the rest of the season. We'll see what that means for the postseason as he has a broken thumb. He is going to miss the remainder of the regular season. We got a lot of football to get into. We are less than a week away from the start of the NFL season. We've got big-time college football to discuss and a lot of Royals. Let's get right to it. But before we do any of that, let me give you a chance to win a pizza.
Pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. Caller number 6 to 913-586-7965. They win a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tassio. Pizza Tassio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They lovingly use 100% whole milk mozzarella, all organic tomato sauce with locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who both know and love pizza. So Carrington, whether you got a little college football watch party and want a whole pie or just a slice or two, be sure to visit them now. PizzaTassio.com. That's pizza, TASCIO.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day on 96.5 The Fan. I also need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you want some of the best pizza, to keep it locked in right here on 96.5 The Fan. Before we talk about the Royals, I would like to talk about the top story very quickly nationally. Yesterday, I believe it is Johnny Gaudreau. Is that how he pronounces last name? I certainly don't want to mispronounce the gentleman's last name. He passed away at 31 years old yesterday. At least my understanding of the story is he and his brother are waking up early, just trying to work out a little bit. They are riding their bikes, and they were killed by a drunk driver. He is a hockey player for the Columbus Blue Jackets. I woke up to that story today, and it is just an absolutely gut-wrenching story. He is a young man who was at home for the weekend. It's the Labor Day weekend. His sister was getting married. He and his brother were scheduled to be in the wedding tomorrow, and to pass away like that, what that means for your family, just absolutely heartbreaking. So I wanted to start today's show with paying our respects to one of the biggest stories right now, at least nationally, is the passing away of the hockey player. Early this morning, I read a story. The gentleman that hit them said that he had 5 or 6 beers and then got in a car. I'm not here to soapbox. I'm not here to preach to you guys. There are more ways than ever before to avoid a DUI. and not put yourself in this situation where you not only severely hurt yourself, but hurt the people that are around you. Just take care of yourself. That is the only message that I have. Again, I'm not here to preach to you. I understand our platform, and I want to talk sports with you guys. But when real life and sports intersect, I think we owe it to ourselves. We owe it to you guys, honestly, to at least speak out on this thing. Just a devastating story that was circulating earlier today. No real way to transition from that, but let's talk a little bit of Royals baseball. It is funny because we started our show on Tuesday, Rob, talking about how Monday was the best day that the Royals have had since the World Series. You went to Cleveland, you won the day game, you won the night game, you are tied with the Cleveland Guardians for first place in the American League Central. There was so much hype and glow and optimism about the Kansas City Royals, and you obviously should still have those things, but it is undeniable to me that Monday, this week, the Royals had not only the best day that they have had so far this season, they also had the best day that they have had over the course of the last 9 seasons. Monday was a fantastic day. It is funny how quickly things can turn, because I think pretty safe to say yesterday was the worst day that they have probably had since the World Series. Now, they have certainly had much lower points in terms of team success. They certainly have been in worse situations than what they are currently in. But yesterday, not only losing the game to the Houston Astros and the manner in which you lost the game yesterday, it was the same formula that we've seen with this Royals team for basically the entire season. The bullpen isn't good enough. The bullpen lets you down, and you head to the showers with another loss. That's just one part of it. It's a 4-game series. All you want to do is split with Houston anyway. The game is the game. You can live with just that, but it's how you lost the game. It's that you lost the game, and more importantly, you lost one of your biggest and most important pieces for this stretch run. If the Royals are going to do something special, they were going to do it off the strength of their starting pitching with Michael Wacha and Brady Singer and Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans. They were going to do it because of their starting pitching, giving you quality starts over the length of the postseason. They also were going to do it off the strength of Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez, and Vinny Pasquantino. I don't want to be Chicken Little and tell you that the sky is falling. The odds in Vegas for the Royals to win their division are unchanged. They are still at a 2-1 clip in order to win the American League Central. You are a game and a half back, and the team that is in front of you is coming to Kansas City Monday through Wednesday. So this is not me telling you that all is lost with the Kansas City Royals. That is not the case. But this team's formula and how they were going to win was drastically altered yesterday by the injury from Vinny Pasquantino. If we had done a segment yesterday where we did our circle of trust that we love to do, you guys put the players in the circle that you guys trust that if the Royals can have a very special October are going to be the reasons that they do it. Vinny Pasquantino would have been at the top of the list. He is a player who has really emerged over the course of the last 90 days and has become a very viable cleanup hitter for this team, hitting for power, driving in runs, one of the glue guys in that locker room. Rob, I don't think you can undersell or understate how big of a loss this is for the Royals. And as they go into the most important stretch of games that they are had, and they are in the middle of that important stretch, that an injury like this for a team that had stayed relatively healthy from start to finish, this is the biggest hill that they've had to climb, the most adversity that they've had to face. And this would be different if this had happened in May. But the fact that it happens now on the doorstep of September, as you have a sprint, most of baseball is a marathon. We are now at the sprint portion of this. The fact that in the middle of your most important stretch of the season, you simultaneously lose one of your most important players to what you are doing is a really devastating blow as we head into next week, that you have 3 games against Cleveland, you have the Chiefs playing the Ravens at home, and then you got 3 games against the Minnesota Twins. We are on the cusp of a great sports week in Kansas City. And at least in the short term, there's a little bit of a rain cloud over it because of the Vinny Pasquantino injury.
I think you said it at the end there quite perfectly. There are
a lot of teams in baseball that have better lineups than the Royals. I'm not breaking new ground here. But most every team in baseball, if they lose their second or third best hitter on August 30th, they're screwed. If the Yankees lose Juan Soto tonight, they're probably in a bad shape. If the Guardians had lost their second best hitter, they're in bad shape. You name a team in baseball, if you lose your second best hitter at the end of August for the season, you're in really bad shape. But it hurts worse for the Royals because part of the allure, part of the excitement about the Royals this season is they're ahead of schedule. Like, we can all be excited, we can all hold them to make the playoffs, but let's be honest, they're ahead of schedule in the rebuild. And when you're ahead of schedule in the rebuild, you really don't have the bodies in the pipeline or on the bench to overcome a Pasquantino-type injury. And like I said, not a lot of teams in baseball would be able to overcome it. But it feels worse for the Royals because their margin of error is lower because they are ahead of the curve. So to lose your best second best hitter, third best hitter, doesn't matter. To lose your best RBI guy at the end of August, and now you're trying to piece it together in the middle of the hardest stretch on the in the schedule, in the midst of the sprint part of the season, you aren't going to be able to add a bat. You aren't going to be able to go out and get, you know, hey, why don't they just go trade for player X? Those things are not available. I'm curious now how the Royals survive the riptide, as Vern calls it, because they're 8 games into a 20-game brutal stretch, and they're 4-4. They're treading water. But I wonder what the next 12 look like when you don't have one of your guys in the lineup. And that's no disrespect to whoever they bring up. That's no disrespect to Adam Frazier or whoever's on the bench. They just don't have the depth of team to survive losing one of your best players, where other teams, like the Yankees, can survive it a little better.
So if you guys missed the top story, Vinny Pasquantino is out for the remainder of the regular season. He is slated to miss 6 to 8 weeks with a broken thumb. There are only 4 weeks left in the baseball season, so you guys could do the math on that. I mean, the Royals would have to make a very deep run in the postseason in order to have him return. Obviously, that is possible. Let's see how the next 6 weeks play themselves out. But this is a substantial blow to a team that had been playing with such momentum over the course of the last 3 weeks. I don't think that everything is all doom and gloom with the Royals. You still are a game and a half back, and the teams that you need to beat are still coming up on the schedule. But your path is much more difficult now because of this injury, where this team was carried offensively by your 3, 4, and 5. You have maybe the second best hitter in the American League behind Aaron Judge and Bobby Witt Jr. Salvador Perez is still playing at an MVP Hall of Fame level, and Vinny Pasquantino. That was a very dangerous stretch. You got Mikel Garcia, who is in the middle of a hot stretch. So we use this term a lot in football. It's going to have to apply in baseball. It's going to be a next man up. I don't think the Royals can one-to-one replace the production that they get from Vinny Pasquantino. It's going to have to be a combination of people. You're going to need a little bit more from Garcia. You're going to need a little bit more from Blanco than you've gotten so far. You're going to have to piecemeal the production together over the course of the next couple of weeks to try to manage this thing, potentially capture the Cleveland Guardians in the division, and hold on to that wild card spot as we head into October baseball. Let's step aside here for a little bit. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about Colorado yesterday and how the more things change, the more they stay the same. I'll explain. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. You are listening to 96.5 The Fam. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful Friday. We have so much to get into. We will get back into the Royals in just a bit. Let's talk about the Colorado Buffaloes for just a bit. Now, I watched a great deal of the game yesterday. I had my time split between Colorado, Missouri, and the Royals yesterday. This is what I noticed when I watched Colorado last night. They're the exact same team as last year. Now, they have a lot of new pieces and new parts. They had 52 players transfer out. They had 41 players transfer in. So there are a lot of new pieces, a lot of new faces, a lot of new names. They are the exact same team that they were a season ago. This is who Colorado is. They might have the best quarterback in college football on their team. He looked like a superstar quarterback yesterday. He looked like a franchise quarterback that if you are a Titans fan, a Raiders fan, the Giants, if you're one of those franchises, you should be paying attention and watching Colorado this year because of who they have at quarterback. Travis Hunter is one of the most intriguing NFL prospects that we have ever seen. Yesterday, Colorado played 116 total snaps. He was in on 114 of them. He had 7 catches for over 150 yards and 3 touchdowns and also had 3 tackles yesterday at corner. He is incredible as a player. Their front end, their superstar players are legit superstar box office top players. Man, the rest of that team's not good. You want to know how I know they're not good? The end of the game. So South Dakota State scores a touchdown. They missed a 2-point conversion. It is a 5-point game with less than 3 minutes to go. South Dakota State has all 3 timeouts and a 2-minute warning now. Yes, they have added a 2-minute warning in college football. Rob, I hate the fact that when you're watching college football, they are trying to explain the concept of a 2-minute warning to you. We know what it is. We've seen it before. We've watched the NFL. So you still have the 2-minute warning. North Dakota State decides to not onside kick it. They're going to kick it regular. All right, it is first down, 2 minutes and 13 seconds left. Everybody that trusts their offensive line and or can run the football, they run on first down. They run a screen play to Travis Hunter. It gets stopped. All right, 2-minute warning time. It's now 2 minutes left. Second down. This is where you run the football. They ran another screen play. It gets stopped. It's third down now. It is 3rd and 8. You are now in a weird predicament. You can throw the ball and risk an incompletion and stop the clock again and now give the ball back to South Dakota State with 2
timeouts. By the way, it's North Dakota State. Just a heads up. Which, North Dakota State.
My bad. North Dakota State. South Dakota State is playing Oklahoma State. My apologies. So you can give the ball back to North Dakota State with 1:50 left in the game. They then got bailed out by a haymaker prayer yesterday to get an automatic first down, pass interference, and Colorado goes on to win the game. Colorado is going to play far better teams than they played yesterday. You know the team they played in North Dakota State? They play Super North Dakota State from Manhattan, Kansas in a couple of months. Everything that that team does, K-State does 15 times better than they are. If you couldn't stop that team from running the football, if you couldn't protect your quarterback against them, I don't know how you plan on stopping Avery Johnson from running the ball. I don't know how you plan on stopping Giddens and Dylan Evers from running the football because they are coming to run the ball. North Dakota State yesterday ran it for 190 yards. Colorado ran it yesterday for 39 yards. Their running backs yesterday had 14 carries for 31 yards. That ain't good enough. If you ain't been paying attention to college football yet, I get it. I am here to tell you that the last time you watched Colorado, nothing has changed since the last time you've seen them. They're the exact same team, the exact same program. Their strengths are still their strengths from last season, and their very open and glaring weaknesses are still weaknesses. Football is simple. It's very simple. Can you run the football? Can you control the line of scrimmage? Can you protect your quarterback? Can you get to the other team's quarterback? Colorado is still no better at doing any of those things. They cannot run the football. They can't protect their own quarterback. They can't stop you from running the football. They don't get after the quarterback. That's not a good football team then. You're not a team that can make a bowl game, not in how tough I think the Big 12 is going to be. You're not beating Utah if you can't do those things. You're not beating K-State if you can't do those things. You're not beating KU if you can't do those things. You think you can beat KU if you can't stop the run? You have no chance. So we'll see. It's just one game. You don't want to overreact to anything positively or negatively. But I watched a lot of Colorado last year. I watched a lot of this game yesterday. And I am here telling you right now, I've seen that Colorado team before. They might have new pieces, new parts. Under the hood, they are the exact same team that they were last year. Shadur is going to put up numbers. Travis is going to put up numbers. And that is a team that is just stuck in neutral. They're not going anywhere.
So here's the thing about Colorado. And full disclosure, I don't think the Deion thing is going to work. But I think what you're saying is spot on. And I think what's frustrating for me is that because of the hype and all the things around Deion, and I believe at one point last night, even on the broadcast, they had a graphic talking about the off-the-field impact that Deion has had. You've seen enrollment go up at Colorado. You've seen a spike in their social media followers. You've seen a spike in their, you know, the money they have. They were a team that the Big 12 really wanted. Like, let's be honest, 3 years ago, I don't think Colorado was a program, football or basketball, that power conferences were jonesing to get. The Deion impact off the field is absolutely significant. But what's frustrating to me about Colorado is they are a team that reeks of 4-8, 5-7, and if everything goes right and they get a few games to go their way or they catch someone on the right day, they're maybe 6-6 in a bowl team. But the national perspective around Colorado is not that. The talking head types, the Skip Baylesses, I know he's retired, the Stephen A. Smiths, the Shannon Sharps of the world, that ilk, that group, do not talk about Colorado the way that Colorado needs to be talked about. They're a superstar-heavy team that's going to be great in the Gasparilla Bowl. They talk about them like, oh, did you see them beat a good football team last night? This is the kind of game that tests your fortitude, and maybe that leads them to a couple close wins they've learned, and maybe they are just on the outside of the playoffs. Deion talks about in his press conferences about how the time is now to win. There's a 12-team playoff. Why not us? Well, I'll tell you why not you, Deion. I saw the game last night. You struggled with an FCS opponent, and I know it's the best of the best in the FCS, and I know the gap between FCS and FBS is lower than ever now with the portal. A kid whose guy 73 on the roster ain't sticking around at Miami of Ohio anymore. He's going to go start at North Dakota State.
I'm also guessing now at this point, there's a little bit of NIL money in schools too. Those schools are not resources poor way that we probably think that they
are. All those things exist. I understand them, but you're telling me you won by 5 at home over an FCS program and people are celebrating like they accomplished something. If Missouri beat Murray State last night by 5, you know what this show will be talking about? Calamity. It'd be a problem. KU struggled out of the gate last night, and we'll talk about both those schools later. But it looked like calamity on social media. How can you only be up by 7 on an FCS opponent? I feel like the national talking heads and the buzz around Deion has never equaled the output on the field, and I think it makes people run to their corners with Deion. And we need to just be honest. Colorado is a fringe bowl team this year, and they're getting pub like they're some sort of Georgia-type ball club.
Yeah, I think you're being a little bit unfair towards Colorado, where we have not seen a 4-8 team like them that is just interesting. They're interesting in a lot of ways. They have a top 10 pick at quarterback. They have one of the most unique college football players that we have ever seen. They have one of the most famous football players ever who is their head coach. So I certainly understand why they are talked about the way that they are talked about. I just think, I guess maybe to your main point is, we just have to be honest about what Colorado is and who they are. They are a really good fantasy football team that, to me, doesn't equal what you need to be a successful football team. It is super flashy. What's that saying? All hat, no cattle? There's a lot of hat with Colorado. You don't have the offensive line and defensive line and the foundation that you need to win consistently at a high level. You are not competing in the Big 12 if you can't run the football and get after the other team's quarterback. That I understand on a national TV talk show, that's not one of the great things to talk about. I don't care what the it thing is in football. I don't care if it's a triple option, the wing T, or the spread. If you can't protect your quarterback and get after the other team's quarterback, you just don't have a chance to win at the level that I think people think Colorado should be winning at. I think they get the brakes beat off them next week by Nebraska. Now, I'm excited to see what Nebraska looks like. Nebraska looks and feels improved. Nebraska should be better coached than Colorado. You got a guy who has already built a program somewhere and a guy who has some NFL experience. You have a future pro at quarterback, albeit a true freshman, but you would expect that Rayola is going to eventually play in the National Football League. This is not the same Nebraska team that I think Colorado played last year. This is the same Colorado team that Nebraska played last year, and I think that's going to be a big determining factor on who wins that game next week. We got to get through week one, and there's certainly a lot of great games this weekend, but just looking ahead after watching Colorado, I got a lot of my questions answered. I just didn't like the answers that I saw. That is just an average college football team that's going to put up a lot of points that you're going to bet a parlay with for any time touchdown, and it's probably going to hit. But in terms of just that foundation that you need to build a successful program, I just don't see it yet in Colorado. And we will have our answers. They play week two against Nebraska at night on NBC. They play week three against Colorado State at 7 o'clock on CBS. They are going to be front and center, nationally televised, big time windows, big time games. We are going to get to see the development of this Colorado team the same way we did last year in real time. Let's get back to the Kansas City Royals. And they had a substantial injury yesterday. Vinny Pasquantino is out for the remainder of the regular season. So it was funny yesterday. I don't know if funny is the right term. But as I was scrolling Twitter after all the things had winded down, college football was coming to a close, the Royals was coming to a close, and I saw someone make the point that the Royals haven't beat a good team outside of Cleveland in 2 months. Now, factually, that is correct. Cannot argue that. But I think it is very important to note with the Royals, and I think how it ties into this Vinny Pasquantino injury, is they don't have many good teams left on the schedule. They really don't. The Royals have 3 more games against Houston. They have 3 games against Cleveland. They have another 3 against Minnesota. They have the Yankees, and that's it. Now, you obviously need to win the games against Detroit. You have to win the games against Pittsburgh. But you would not put those teams that I just mentioned in that first category. You're not putting the Detroit Tigers and the Yankees in the same conversation. They are not close. They are not comparable. So if your question about the Royals is about their inability to beat good teams, I hear you. That's something that we've talked about on this show. They're not that far away from just being done with this. They're halfway done with the Riptide. They're halfway done. That's it. They're halfway done. It is gone kind of how we thought it was going to go. Now, you certainly didn't expect an injury to Vinny Pasquantino when you hope at the end of this thing that you don't have to deal with another injury, but this Riptide is gone kind of how we thought it was. All you needed to do was be around 500. Right now, in the most difficult stretch of their season, they're 500. I think this the on-the-field part is going exactly how we thought it was going to go with the Royals. I really do. I think it was going how we thought it was going to go. And again, you have to remove the injury from this part of the conversation. You knew their bullpen was in trouble. And against really good teams, it's hard to hold leads with the bullpen that they have. You're not beating Philadelphia consistently with the bullpen that they have late in games where you really need to execute. They lost those games. You then look to this first game against the Houston Astros, a team that has played in and won a lot of big games over the course of the last 7-8 years or so. They got to your bullpen. This stretch for the Royals has gone kind of exactly how we thought it was going to go. They did the one thing that they were supposed to do. And if the knock against the Royals, and I've had this criticism, you remember, we had the stat of what their record is against teams that are the White Sox and not the White Sox, and how they have just basically been 500 against everybody else. They also perform really well against Cleveland. And if you're going to have another positive other than what you beat up on the White Sox, you beat up on the most important team left on your schedule and the most important team on your division. If you sweep Cleveland next week, you're in a phenomenal shape to be able to hold this thing off down the stretch. I'm not saying the Royal season is over in 10 days, but if they can just have a great next 10 to 12 days of their season, they can still win this division. You got three games against a team that you match up well in. At some point, you would think you have to beat the Minnesota Twins. You have one more chance to win a series against the Minnesota Twins. If there is a team that has had your number, it's been them. It's time to pay back a little bit of what they've given you over the course of the last couple of seasons, the last couple of weeks. Win the series Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday against Cleveland, win the three-game set next weekend against Minnesota. If you can win those two series, everything that you thought was still possible before the Vinny Pasquantino injury is still possible if they can do that. So I have not moved off of, I guess, what the objective is for the Royals. Sure, it's disappointing. But Rob, you and I have made the analogy about this being like election night, where you look at the Electoral College. Man, you still got to win these states. You still got to figure out a way to win Pennsylvania and Ohio if you want to win the presidency. The Royals have a chance to do that. They still have a chance to win the division. They are 1.5 games back, and they play that team on Monday. Figure out a way to win two of these next three games against Houston, leave with a split, and do what you've done this season. Beat Cleveland and figure out a way to do something that you haven't done this season, which is overcome the Minnesota Twins.
I think the last 12 games, which what's left and within this riptide, as Vern calls it, which I like that term a lot, comes down to how you perceive the Royals. And I think what you're saying is factually accurate. They have done really well this season against the Guardians. And if you win two or three in that Guardian series, which you've shown most all of the season, you can take two or three from Cleveland. They've done it pretty consistently. They're, 8-2 against Cleveland this year or something outlandish? You feel like, okay. Then you start doing the math. You're like, okay, well, that's at least 6 wins within this riptide. You finally feel like you can get 1, maybe 2 against the Astros. You get 1 or get against the 2 against the Twins. You survive in advance against the Yankees. They come out the back end of the riptide 500, and anyone on earth would have taken 500 through this portion of the schedule. But I think the glass half empty people will tell you they are 4-4 with 12 difficult games left, and their lineup is now lacking. And now things you would kind of put in your back pocket of, oh, we dominate the Guardians, I'm not worried about them. Well, do you still dominate the Guardians without your 3-hitter? Do you still dominate their pitching staff without your best RBI guy? The Twins, who have been a thorn in your side all season, they're taking on injury water too, but suddenly you are as well. You're a better team than them. The standings say it, the stats say it, but are you a better team with them without Vinny Pasquantino? I don't know. I've never seen that series. No one has. So I think these next 12 games are all about how you view the Royals. Let's be honest. All season, for whatever reason, I don't know the reason, the Royals have had a group of defectors as fans. They have gone out of their way to try to discourage the success of the Royals. And that group is telling you without Pasquantino, it's just different.
Rob, I hear what you're saying. And I know what the show we had a couple of days ago. But I blame us. I blame this show. I blame us as media people. Why are we still listening to the detractors, at least when it comes to this team? Because this team said make it to, those people said make it to Memorial Day. They then got to Memorial Day. They said make it to the All-Star break. They then made it to the All-Star break. They, at one point in August, they were one game back, and if you win this game, you are in first place in your division if you do this. So I think it's Lebatard that says that the odds are normally in the skeptic's favor. At some point, if you tell me, man, I told you so about the Royals, you will tell me that in the ALDS, you were wrong. Like, what are we arguing then? You were wrong. If you're going to tell me, oh, man, I told you this team wasn't that good. Well, they made the wild card. What are we talking about? You said they were going to win 71 games. You've never been right at any point about the Kansas City Royals. So, again, I know that I have been guilty of this, too, with the detractors of the Kansas City Royals. Man, it is less than 30 games left in the season. All of us were wrong about the Royals. All of us. You and I thought they were going to win 75 games, which would have been a 20-game improvement over what they were. Maybe you thought, hey, if everything aligns themselves perfectly, they align themselves perfectly. Almost every move they made this offseason worked out tremendously for this team. Their best player turned into a true and legitimate superstar. Salvador Perez still has a lot of great baseball. I'm not concerned with appeasing the skeptics of the Royals. If you're going to find reasons to poke holes in the Royals, you're just going to do it with or without this injury. You've been doing it for 130 games. What's 30 more? There isn't anything stopping you from doing this.
And you know what? That point is extremely valid. It's maybe my fault. It's maybe the show's fault. Maybe it's the station's fault. Maybe it's media on the whole. But for some reason, it feels like we have entertained too often the detractors with the Royals. The people who are saying, they stink, they stink, they stink. I don't understand why there's a sect of Royals fans that are trying so hard to explain why the team stinks. It makes no sense to me because, you know, on Thursday, that same fan's going to put on a red 15 jersey and we'll text the show in that the Chiefs are going to go 17-0. It just makes no sense to me. But the detractors, I think, have, for the first time in about 5 months, have a little bit of a point, because it's the sprint portion of the season and the Royals are starting to get banged up. And when it's sprint time and suddenly you got a splint on your leg, that could be a problem, because it would be a not historic, but big, big collapse. And the things that lead to big collapses are injuries, and they're starting to take them on. Renfro's hurt. Urseg left the game last night. We don't have an update on him that I've seen, at least. Vinny, we mentioned, is hurt. They had Michael Lorenzen get hurt earlier this week. I don't want to say the detractors are right, because they're wrong, but I feel like the detractors, for the first time in a while, have a leg to stand on, because it's sprint time and the Royals are taking on a lot of water.
Yeah, I mean, the Royals are 15 games over 500 heading into the month of September. I mean, I don't know really what leg the detractors have to stand on with the Royals. They have 3 games left against Cleveland. They are 1.5 games behind them. They are 2 games up on Minnesota, and they play Minnesota at Kauffman Stadium a week from today. If you are on the detractor train, I guess with the Royals, you have maybe a week left. And at that point, I don't really know what the other yeah, but is going to be with the Royals. Sure, this team could be better against teams that are over 500. Somehow they have managed to be 15 games over 500 with as incredibly flawed as they are. They have a chance to be the second best team in the American League. At some point, like, I would just join the rest of the party and try to have some fun with what the Royals are doing. Coming up on the other side, I did not watch a second of the KU game. Rob did not watch a second of the Missouri game. We will report to you what we watch. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I usually try to watch all of the teams play. But yesterday, I mean, there's only so much I can do. I'm just one man, folks. You know what I don't have the time to do? I don't have the time to watch the eventual national champion Missouri Tigers. I got to keep an eye on the Royals. I got to watch Colorado because I had North Dakota State plus 10.5 and watch KU play Lindenwood. Now, I am more than happy to watch KU. I really am. I'm more than happy to watch KU when they play a real team. They play Illinois next week. I'm in. I'll go to one of the games at Arrowhead. I'm always down to watch real sports. I didn't watch all the Missouri game. I got to watch your team play Lindenwood? I don't even know where Lindenwood is. What's their mascot? I didn't watch a second of that game. The only time I saw it was during halftime of the Missouri game. They showed the highlights. That's all I know. I don't know anything else. I know they won by a lot. So Rob is going to give you the Kansas portion of this segment. Let me give you the Missouri portion, because I watched probably like 20 minutes total of the game. I don't want to get too excited. I really don't. That's the most talented Missouri team I've ever seen. I know. They played Murray State. You just had to be watching it. Luther Burden was incredible. Theo Weiss was great. Their running game looked very good yesterday with Carroll and Noel. All of the transfers that they brought in on defense made a play yesterday. They got Toriano Pride, who was at Clemson. He transferred to be closer to home. He's from St. Louis. He had a pick six yesterday. It was just, you could not have written a better script for Missouri's first game than the one that they had yesterday. Now, they got to prove it against good teams. They don't play a good team for another month. They have Buffalo next week. They have Boston College, Vanderbilt. They got bums on the schedule. But let me tell you, yesterday watching that team, oh my goodness, the talent is, it jumped off the screen yesterday how talented they were. I could not have been happier with the first 60 minutes of Missouri football than I was yesterday and the effort that I saw them put, especially in the first half. At the second half, they clearly coasted the rest of the way. I mean, they scored 28 points in the first 5 minutes of the game. It was 28 to nothing before you got out of the line to get yourself a beer. Just touchdown, touchdown, pick six, touchdown. It was a dominating effort yesterday. I told you guys that Missouri was going to win the national championship, and some of you scoffed at me because you didn't get a chance to see them play yesterday when they smoked Murray State.
Before I get to the Kansas portion of this, and I don't want this to come off like hating because I'm legitimately.
No, here you go. I ain't saying nothing bad about KU. I know you're about to start hating.
If anything, this might come out as a compliment. That's the most talented Missouri team ever because Missouri has had a lot of talent on the roster. They went to two SEC title games. They played in a Big 12 title game. They had multiple pros, Jerry Macklin, Chase Daniel. Missouri, as much as I hate them as a school, have been a good football program for about two decades now. And you're telling me this roster is the most talented you've seen? More talented than the roster that was a game away from the national title against Auburn? Like, that speaks volumes, if you're correct, that this roster is that much better than those previous rosters.
The reason I would give this Missouri team, as of now, the nod is I think Missouri has all the skill position players that they had on those teams. Missouri wasn't good enough up front to compete against those teams, and that was always the difference. When they got to the game against Auburn, they couldn't stop the run. They couldn't stop Trey Mason or Auburn. I think this team is far better equipped defensively, and a lot of it is just years and times in the SEC, but where they've been able to close the gap between them and some of the better teams in the SEC is their offensive line is worlds better than it was a decade ago. Defensive line, they are much better than they were. So it's one game. This is a little bit tongue-in-cheek, and we're not going to know how good Missouri is until the first week in October when they go on the road and play Texas A&M. But for game one early returns, Missouri looked good yesterday.
All right, let's pivot to the Kansas portion, and I won't take long with this because they played Lindenwood, who, as someone on the text line points out, was Division II 2 years ago. They recently bumped up to the FCS. So this was the cupcakiest cupcake you could put on the schedule. I understand that. There was good and bad in the Kansas game, Carrington. The bad was first quarter, they only have 7-0 on a team that's hapless. They had two turnovers. They looked out of sync. One of the big questions this offseason with Kansas was, hey, new offensive coordinator, how's he going to get all the pieces and parts to work? They have all the pieces and parts, but will it coalesce? And they looked okay for about 15 minutes of football. Two bad turnovers. Defense kind of looked like ho-hum. It was uh-oh. It wasn't alarm bells going off, but I had friends of the game, and they were texting me being like, why isn't this a boat race? And in the second quarter, Kansas figured out that Devin Neal's one of the best players in the country. They gave him like 8 carries. He got 112 yards, 2 touchdowns. They put a 27 spot up in the second quarter. It was 34-0 at half, and from that moment on, no starters played. KU took Devin Neal out. KU took Jalen Daniels out. If there's a player on KU's roster that you know their name, they did not play in the third quarter of the Lindenwood game, which we'll see how that shakes out against Illinois, but it feels like KU got a lead and treated it like preseason game number 2. Get in there, third strings. Go get some work in. So they are able to blow a team out. Everyone stayed healthy, and here came the third strings, but there was also an element of how much do you learn when you beat up on Lindenwood?
Yeah, I don't think you were going to really learn anything about KU. You know what? The positive thing about KU was always going to be defensively, they were really good yesterday. Jalen Daniels is healthy going into today, and they have one of the best 1-2 running back combinations in the country, and you saw that yesterday. Devin Neal scored 2 touchdowns. Highshaw scored a touchdown. He ran for 60 yards yesterday. Jalen Daniels threw a touchdown pass. Every game in which they end where Jalen Daniels is healthy is a good day for KU. It gives you a shot. So I'm with you. I'm not here to pat Missouri on the back for beating up on Murray State or pat KU on the back for beating up on Lindenwood. You saw what you needed to see. Jalen Daniels looks good, looks healthy, threw a touchdown pass. You can run the football effectively. And just the overall talent for Kansas, you could see in a very limited sample, just they are light years. I can't think of a program in basically 2 calendar years that has been able to turn around their roster so quickly and have as many good players on their team as KU is. I think this happens a lot of times in college basketball because we talk about the transfer portal. And you and I come from the belief where you usually had to give a program 4 years to kind of get things going. It really takes 2 years with the transfer portal, with name, image, and likeness, and if you have the right staff in place. KU got the right staff in place. They have the right quarterback in place. Now, they got a little bit lucky with Jason Bean that he was far better than anybody expected him to be. But they have improved the skill position players on that team defensively, and they have just really elevated the overall talent that is on this roster, where now going into a game next week at Illinois, you as a KU fan have no worry about this game. You blew this team out last year. You are a better, more talented, and better prepared and coached team than Illinois. You could not say that 2 years ago, 3 years ago. You couldn't say that for the 15 years prior to these last couple of years, but that's how you have to feel right now as a KU fan.
And that's all the reason for positive. Like, in a weird twist of fate, the fact that the KU at halftime said, okay, here come the backups, and the backups didn't seem to miss a beat, albeit against Lindenwood. As a KU fan, that is exciting because it was 3 years ago, Carrington, 3 years. This exact week, KU beat South Dakota State on a late fourth quarter touchdown. The fans stormed the field, and you got jokes off for 12 weeks, and they were fair jokes. KU was celebrating beating an FCS opponent by 6 by storming the field. It was bad, bad. And now, I, as a KU fan, can stick my nose up and say, well, I mean, by the end of the start of the fourth quarter, kids I'd never heard of that you had to really sift through 24/7 to find their recruiting profile were getting run. That is a testament to the quality of program they are now, but it also, as a fan, is tough to be like, man, I know what this school is now. I know what to expect this season because they did the expected. That's all they did.
Coming up at the top of the hour, let's open up the phone lines. Let's take you guys' phone calls. 913-586-7965. Where are you at with the Kansas City Royals? Yesterday was the worst day that they have had so far this season. Are you in, you out? Are you worried? Where do you sit right now? They lost yesterday. The bullpen wasn't good. And Vinny Pasquantino was injured. We'll take your phone calls next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.